Shalom Yehudim, Shalom Bnei Noach, Shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the second day, Kaf Zayin B'Mal Cheshvan, Parshas Toldos, Tavshin Ayin Vav, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 8 November 2015, webcasting from what feels like Intifada 3.0. I haven't thought that thus far since October 1, when the latest cycle of satanic Jew killing began, but I say so now because we're getting a report now. Every webcast on Jewish victims of these Goy barbarians, the frequency is ratcheting up, it seems. Since the last webcast 72 hours ago, around 10 now, I think, Jews have been blooded by these sadistic Goyim, either by knifing or running them over on the road, some in serious condition. On Friday evening, there was a new wrinkle in Hebron when a 16-year-old Ishmaelite with a plain, old-fashioned, long barrel rifle shot an Israeli warrior in the head. On Friday as well, a few kilometers north of Hebron, in Chalchul, near Chalchul, that's mentioned in the book of Joshua, I think, a 72-year-old widow, the widow of a Jew killer, who was killed in the last Intifada, connected to Hamas higher-ups, I think, drove into a clump of soldiers who jumped out of the way in time and shot her dead. These lying Arabs, of course, reported it was a regular car accident, that's all. Ergo, Al-Yahud had no reason to murder her in cold blood the way they did. Some Jews were run over at the Tapuach Junction in Samaria today. There was an attack last week at the Rami Levi store in Binyamin. What I found somewhat encouraging in all of this was the poll of Israelis done by a think tank at Tel Aviv University, according to which 53% of Israelis think killing Arab attackers is good. No attempt need be made to arrest them. Absolutely right. This is an old Jewish dictum. When someone comes to kill you, kill him first. It's no time to read him his Miranda rights or wait for the police to show up. This really is a significant datum, I think, about our situation vis-a-vis these barbarians with their lunatic fantasy life and conscienceless sadistic brutality. In the past, I've noted the confusion that these barbarians sow among the civilized, mixing the two cultures. Hamas launches mortars and missiles at us. Those are military weapons. Fire them at random into our homes and towns and farms, schools and synagogues to kill Jews at random, destroy our property at random, destroy livelihoods, which they have. But when the IDF invades Gaza to make them stop, our soldiers must act like policemen and be careful in going after the bad guys not to harm the innocent civilians. An anti-Semitic Muslim like Barack Obama can affirm that, yes, Al-Yud has the right to self-defense, but that means going after the rocket launcher boys only. Israel must be careful not to harm the innocent civilians among whom they hide. Well, first of all, they're not innocent in my mind. There are perhaps 1.5 million of these eternal refugees who turn out in their hundreds of thousands for rallies for Fatah or for Hamas or for Islamic Jihad, exactly as German citizens in the 1930s thrilled to participate in torchlight Nazi parades in adulation of Der Führer, which is why when Allied bombers at the end of the war were flattening German cities, nobody in England and the U.S., where the bombers came from, lost any sleep over that, or thought there was something immoral about that. No worry about the innocent civilians in that situation. I reject the notion that the civilians in Gaza, who attend these rallies with their blood-curdling chants against Jews, are innocent. On top of which, in free elections, they elected the Muslim Brotherhood of Hamas. And in a similar circumstance, when it comes to how we relate to these homicidal Hamites, in retail, a Jew is under no obligation, in uniform or out, to strive to arrest the attacking evildoer. And that would set in train legal proceedings that can lead to a trial. A trial, that's a word suggesting that an idea and a hypothesis is being tested in a court of law. At such time, a lawyer for the knife-wielding Muslim maniac may try to prove that it's a case of mistaken identity, or the would-be murderer was influenced by an emotional older brother who was a big fan of the Muslims, and so on and so forth. In such a case as a murderous sudden attack, as we're seeing, no trial is needed to test the hypothesis that Ahmed, or whatever his name is, did what he did. He came to kill, and the proper response is to kill him first. Not to disarm him, not to arrest him. For what? He must also be dispatched to protect Jews in the future. He must not be given another chance to murder anyone. Israel also has a terrible record of arresting Jew killers, putting them in prison for some time, and then release them again to kill again. The people who have died in these kill-again moments have run into the hundreds. This poll is also shows that 8 out of 10 people agree that the home that the attacker lives in has to be demolished. This points to one of the tragic flaws of Arab life, the absence of empathy, which is characteristic in the West of psychopaths. Aspiring Jew killers have to know for certain that if they go through with their evil fantasy, their family is going to be out on the street, their home demolished. Until a better response is devised, this retribution is not unjust. Murder one Jew, and you do, to a degree, destroy a Jewish family. You bring everlasting sorrow on the person's friends and relatives, parents, sisters, brothers, wives. These Arabs are true barbarians for their absence of civilized human fellow feeling, even for one's enemy. Think of the famous Christmas truce in World War I, in the trenches, if only for a day, when the soldiers came out and came out to play soccer. One of the great movies as well, Grand Illusion, by Renoir, is also about World War I, about French officers imprisoned by German officers, and the behavior, the politesse of gentlemen officers, regardless of national lines. Think as well of C.S. Forrester, who wrote the classic series on Horatio Hornblower, the British naval officer. In the Napoleonic era, one of the episodes, he's captured by the French, but in a crisis, he's allowed to go free to rescue people at sea on condition he gives his parole, his word, that he will return to captivity. And that's exactly what happened. He gave his parole, his word, and they honored that. And he honored them. Versus our neighbors, who think nothing of chopping off the heads of their POWs. They're like the savage Japanese at their worst during World War II, during the Bataan Death March. Arabs treat their captured enemies as less than human as the Japanese did. They think they can do anything to them, and they do. So this public opinion poll is encouraging for reflecting a sober and thinking public, if not necessarily those in a new pressure group in Yosh that wants to see the two Rami Levi supermarkets fire their Arab staff. They want Jewish laborers only. They're frightened, but I'm afraid they're going to be disappointed. We need them. Last webcast, I referred to the 440 years in the age of the judges in which the cardinal sin of the children of Jacob Israel was not dispossessing the Canaanite groups and the Philistines. They always let some stay and employed them to do the hard labor, to draw water and chop wood. The Torah says explicitly that failure to rid the country of the Canaanites and Philistines will result in their presence becoming a thorn in the side. This is where the old expression comes from, and pricks or stickers in your eyes. I remember during the second Intifada, a description of a woman in downtown Jerusalem hit by a shower of nails in an explosion that embedded themselves in her face. Her face looked like a pin cushion, only those were not pins, but nails. What remains disheartening is the inability of official Israel to shed the wrong-headed cliches of the past about reaching a peace agreement with these people. Rami Levi, in response to the pressure group, said the markets are proof, or words to that effect, of the possibility of peaceful coexistence between the peoples. And of course he would say that. But in this, I hear the voice of at best the adolescent idealist and the mistaken belief, proven wrong, that goodwill on Israel's part will work to change the hearts and minds of the other side. Once they get to know us, they'll stop hating us. Well, it's been 22 years and counting since the delirious Oslo handshake on the White House lawn. And judging by the Palestinian Authority's media, TV and radio, that is dominated by, you know, those moderate Fatah Palestinian patriots, there's been no change in this people's desire to make us bleed. PMW is keeping in track of their media, and which is full of bloodthirsty opinions and songs and celebrations of the Jew killers. Fatah continues to broadcast in the official PA media its claim that all of Israel, all of it, is really Palestine, and really the property of Palestinians that was stolen by Al-Yahud. And I continue to await the day official Israel responds to this way of thinking, as it should, which is to declare in public before the whole world that Abbas and his band of very men, when they claim there were no Jewish temples on Haram al-Sharif, are simply out of their minds, and people with whom Israel will not deal. Moreover, why I wrote my book, Israel has to answer the insane claim that these Arabs, these Muslims, mostly are ancient Palestinians. They are delusional. It's the biggest of all lies. And it's simply wrong for Israeli Jewish people to look the other way when these ridiculous claims are made. Israel has to go on record big time denying the existence of such a fictitious people with territorial rights to the Palestine as it appeared on maps in 1919 when the Paris Peace Conference created the League of Nations, which issued a mandate to create a Palestine that did not exist at that moment for the Jewish people because it is their historic homeland. With not a word at the time about any Arabs calling this their historic homeland, not a word about any Palestinians, as that word is used today.
חמים, מלא כבודו טובים מאוד שמרא אלוקנו יצרם בדעת בבינה ובהשכל כוח וגבורה נתן בהם להיות מושלים בקרב תבל מלאים זיו ומפיקים בצטם וססים בבואם עושים בימה רצון קונם פר וכבוד נותנים לשמור צהלה מרינה לזכר מלכותו קרא לשמש ויזרח אור רעב התקין צורת הלבנה שבח נותנים כל צבא מרום תפארת וגדולה שרפים וחיות ואופני הקודש שבח נותנים לו כל צבא מרום תפארת וגדולה שרפים חיות ואופני הקודש
There was an interesting coincidence last Wednesday when, during the webcast, I opined that we are not hearing any more about the urgency of making peace from the White House because the Muslim agent in the Oval Office never really gave a hoot about these Arabs. None of their backers ever did. They're just pawns in the creation of Jew haters for whom the state of Israel's existence enrages them. Obama the Muslim looks upon Israel, as ardent Muslims do, as an offense against the one true faith. Jews are mandated in the Quran to be oppressed and humiliated, which makes of their Zionism a rebellion against the word of Allah and his greatest messenger, Muhammad the head chopper. So it was a coincidence to learn today that almost at the same time I was doing the webcast, spokesman for Emir Barak Hussein, Ibn Barak Hussein, that is one of his closest Jew boy advisors, Robert O'Malley, National Security Council Coordinator for the Middle East, spoke to the press and said, quote, "The prospect of a two-state solution is not in the cards for the time that's remaining," close quote. Yeah, the crucifixion of the Palestinians and its remedy has been abandoned. By contrast, U.S. Ambassador to Israel Dan Shapiro in Washington for the Prime Minister's visit tomorrow also said, quote, "We've been doing a lot of work internally aimed at maintaining the viability of the two-state solution." Though for the life of me, I cannot imagine what he has in mind by hard work. That is the last thing diplomats like him engage in. Hard work, he said, to maintain the viability of the two-state solution. Viability? He's got to be kidding. That word refers to potential for life and growth when the two-state solution is a corpse that never had a chance. In any case, this news item tracks with my reading of the evil one, Barack Obama. He got what he wanted in the Iran deal, giving the Iranians a king's ransom to use to kill Jews retail and an atomic bomb in the future to destroy Israel wholesale, God forbid. He can now drop the pretense that he cares about the Ancient Ones, whose existence itself is a pretext for the same cosmic hatred of Jews. Top story here this morning was how Netanyahu is handling or will handle his meeting tomorrow with this evil man, especially in light of Bibi's appointment last week as a public diplomacy coordinator or something of the acerbic Ran Baratz, who in public has described Obama's actions as, quote, "modern anti-Semitism," and said of John Kerry that he has the mind of a 12-year-old, which sounds right to me. Like Obama, like Hillary, Kerry is another empty shell, a chronic liar. He's all ambition, no talent, no wisdom. Baratz is right to see in Kerry a 12-year-old. One anonymous source said Kerry remains nonetheless, quote, "particularly worried about the expansion of settlements and creeping annexation." And never mind last week's information that Bibi has built less than his predecessors, which makes of the accusation by this grandson of Jewish apostates either out of touch or delusional. When word got out about Baratz's opinions, Bibi had to respond. One report had him saying that the appointment is now on hold and will be reviewed after he returns from Washington, or words to that effect, and then he put out that he never said that. I don't envy him, he who tomorrow will have to sit once again face to face with this chronic liar and anti-Jew, with whom Bibi and all of us, while we have to put up with him for another 14 months, who knows what further mischief for Israel this soulmate of Louis Farrakhan is cooking up. Sure, the news will contain, after their meeting, information about future arms deals for Syria, for Israel, because Israel has the right to defend itself. And what does Obama care anyway? It's not his money. The U.S. has been spending with nothing in the bank for years now, and especially under Obama's time. What has he trebled? The national debt. Yeah, I don't envy Bibi having to sit face-to-face with this SOB after his Iran deal. In a different time and place, outside the framework of official positions, is just two ordinary men. One Muslim and one Jew. If I were Bibi, I'd spit in his face and see what happens.
In
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. You know, the proper response to Obama's handing over $150 billion to Iran and giving Iran permission to build an atomic bomb deserves to be responded to with toxic, acetic contempt. What's so unbelievable, besides his obsession with Israel, is his twin hatred of the United States. This president that he exercises by kowtowing to Iran, our number one enemy, as he bowed so obsequiously before the savage king of Saudi Arabia 3 months into his first term. Iran is a nation that simultaneously holds official rallies to chant death to Israel and death to America, and to burn and tear up the both national flags. Like young John Kerry, who thought the Viet Cong were his country's victims, so the President of the United States rewards Iran with these prizes. Unbelievable. And not only him and Kerry, but the Democrats in Congress who vote to support him in this deal. 4 days ago was the 36th anniversary of the overrunning of the U.S. Embassy in active war in Tehran, which every year is a day of celebration there. And there's more hysterical chanting. Mar Barg America in Farsi, death to America. Last week, El Supremo there, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, was quoted explaining that death to America really doesn't mean that. It's not death to the country, he said, but death to U.S. policies and its patronizing of other people and its arrogance. Yeah, the late Ayatollah Khomeini's nickname for the U.S. was World Arrogance. And what's interesting is that America's greatest offense in this framework is not its evil deeds, whatever they are, but its bearing, its arrogance, its preening superiority, its treating of all others as inferiors and making them feel inferior. This is reminiscent of what Charles de Gaulle said when he stabbed Israel in the back and switched sides in the Arab War against Israel after the Six-Day War. He said Israel was a people assuré et dominant, self-assured and domineering. And notice, too, how de Gaulle had nothing concrete to accuse Israel of, any crime or sin. What de Gaulle and Khomeini object to is the Jews who are proud and therefore snobbish in their attitude to others. You know, the chosen people, cliquish and clannish. And you can just hear beneath the surface the envy and the rage at Israel for being as successful as it is. For Iran, whose shahs sat on the peacock throne, parading and preening, may be that nation's most salient national characteristic. As always with anti-Jew emotions, Israel is accused of the accuser's worst features. It's Iran whose arrogance makes them see themselves as entitled to displace the U.S. as the most mired and successful and powerful nation on earth. And it's not right that America, this pagan infidel, great Satan, this backer of Israel, the little Satan, is the cock of the walk in our time. It should be Iran. With Muslims, we're dealing with people on a very low level of psychological and intellectual sophistication. They lack introspection. They lack a conscience. They live in a world of dark age fantasies of demon Jews. Last Thursday in New York, Israel's UN ambassador, Danon, wrote a letter of protest to Secretary General Ban Ki-moon over a letter presented to the current British president of the Security Council by the representative at the UN of the PLO, Riyad Mansour, in which he accused Israel of harvesting the eyes and organs of those our forces have had to kill since October 1. He said that the bodies returned are missing eyes and other organs, implying that Israel is harvesting these body parts for sale on the black market. I'm reminded of, I think it was a Syrian film about 10 years ago, in which the actors acted out Israeli surgeons removing the eyes of Palestinian boys to sell them on that black market. Danon protested that, quote, "This blood libel by the Palestinian representative exposes his anti-Semitism in his true colors. Anti-Semitism has no place in the halls of the UN and must be denounced." Well, you can forget about that. The UN is a lost cause. Still, what Israel has to do for its own self-respect, sanity, and that's rebrand, in the loudest terms, these so-called Palestinians as delusional about Jews as any Nazi. They hallucinate a Palestinian people in history that never was, and therefore cannot be partners for peace or for anything. Israel has to take off the gloves and stop mouthing blather about the two-state solution and peace with the Palestinians, because there are no Palestinians, and this violence against us has absolutely nothing to do with the absence of a state for Palestinians, about whom there is nothing Palestinian.
יפה נוף מסוס, תבל קריה למלך רב, לך נחשפה נפשי מפת מערב. המון רחמי נחמר כי אזכרה קדם, כבודך אשר גלה ונביך אשר חרב. יפה נוף מסוס, תבל קריה למלך רב, לך נחשפה נפשי מפת מערב, המון רחמי נחמר כי אזכרה קדם כבודך אשר גלה ונביך אשר חרב. ומתמני על כנפי נשרים עד אר ובדמעתי אפרך ויתערב. הלא את אבנייך החונן ואשקם ותעם רגבייך לפי מדבש יערב. ומתמני על כנפי נשרים עד אר ובדמעתי אפרך ויתערב. הלא את אבנייך החונן ואשקם ותעם רגבייך לפי מדבש יערב. יפן אוף בסוס תבל קריה למלך רב, לך נחשפה נפשי מפת מערב, המון רחמי נחמר כי אזכרה קדם כבודך אשר גלה ונביך אשר חרב.
And that's it for this first night of the week. Let's hope for a better week than last one. Until Tuesday. Leila tov, Meretz Yisrael.